Behind every great story is a great and greatly underappreciated anonymous copy editor. A couple of them, actually. They work long and late hours. They fix reporters' mistakes on deadline. They make stories more grammatically correct, easier to understand. And they're the very last set of eyes to see a story before it's printed. But do they get bylines? No. Do they get blamed for mistakes that show up in the paper? Yes. So why be a copy editor? Lots of reasons, says Merrill Perelman, a 25-year veteran of the New York Times copy desk. We spoke to her exactly 2 years ago in Miami at the annual American Copy Editor Society conference. She described the mood of the hundreds of copy editors in that first session.
The very first session this morning, it wasn't so high because copy editors tend to be night people, and we were all a little groggy. But once you get people going, it's they're looking around and they're saying, my God, look at all of us. We matter.
Now, at the risk of stereotyping, how would you describe a typical copy editor? What kind of people are they?
I'm not sure there is a typical copy editor. I think they share some common traits. They all share that love of language. They all share that desire to get it right. Sometimes it's an obsession to get it right, and that's not necessarily a good thing. They don't so much care about the public recognition, but they like to bitch about not having the public recognition. So they're a complaining bunch.
What is the most frequent mistake that you and your colleagues find in reporters' raw copy?
I'm not sure that there's one that pops right out at me. I gave a session this morning about homonym sorts of expressions that have crept into written language. Like, you know, somebody says, I'm going to hone in on something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hone, H-O-N-E, it's H-O-M-E for homing pigeons.
I got to tell you, I still see the hone in mistake in major newspapers, even, it seems to me, the New York Times.
Oh, yes, once in a while. We've had it, I think, three times in the last year because I looked it up for this session. Wonderful thing about language is it does evolve and it is fluid. For a copy editor, you need to know your audience and you need to know what your house style is. So in some ways, it's not even so much of a right or wrong thing. There was a time in the late 19th century when somehow, somewhere, someone, and I don't know the actual derivation, decided that split infinitives were a bad thing. And all the public schools started teaching that split infinitives were bad. Well, tell that to Gene Roddenberry, because it is not boldly to go where no man has gone before. It is to boldly go where no man has gone before. Because people feel so strongly about that, New York Times newspaper style is, if you don't have to split it, don't aggravate people. But if you have to split it, it's okay because it's not wrong.
I must say, over several decades, copy editors have saved my sorry ass more times than I can really count.
Thank you for saying that.
Literally, I can't count them because I don't remember a single episode. What I do remember is the few times that copy editors edited errors into my stories.
Yes, that's
that
terrible.
Weren't there when I submitted it. Now, that's annoying. What have you to say for yourself about that?
I'm really sorry, and I'll try not to let it happen again. There's sort of an unwritten credo that you do not damage somebody else's work. That no one should be surprised to read something under their own byline. So, you know, when copy editors do edit errors in, I think they probably flog themselves more than a lot of reporters will flog themselves, because that's worse. Now, the flip side of that is all the catches that copy editors make that they're never recognized for.
Yeah, they're those.
Yeah.
But I would have to say in my career, in thousands of stories, probably only 700 or 800 times have you...
Only 700 or 800. That's pretty
well,
good
I'm exceptionally precise. Well, Merrill, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Merrill Perelman was the director of copy desks at the New York Times. Now she's a freelance editor. We spoke to her in April of 2007.